All right, welcome back to the boys at 161st Street. We finally got some real baseball. Fauci couldn't throw a ball for save his life, although he looks like he could have been the third starter on the Red Sox. Stanton looks good, like I told you. Bye, haters. Judge looks good, batting 1,000. Tyler Wade's fast. Leaders of the fan club right here. We are accepting applications. Let's get to it. All right, boys. So we got some baseball.
We got fucking baseball happening right now.
I was about to do that.
Oh, my God. I swear, like, I listened to the Yes Network intro, like, on repeat from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. today. Just had the same thing on repeat.
I always see that on Twitter. There's always, it's this, everybody posts it. Like, it's just a way you're waiting, like, oh, there's 11 days out until the season starts. And somebody says like, oh, only 11 days. And they post that. And then it's just like, everybody just keeps recycling that post. It's just so funny.
Like
it's the first time I've ever seen it.
You know what really hit me though? When I turned the game on and one of the announcers was like, it has been 260 something days since the Washington Nationals won the World Series. I was like, it's been that fucking long since we had baseball.
Longest.
And that got me even more excited to be like, oh my God, like I am so, so ready to watch this game right now.
Yeah. They said it was the longest gap in the history of baseball that they haven't had baseball. It was 270. I think it was 267 from the Nats game, but it was like even more for us, obviously.
Even though it was only six games got rained out, I was still so excited just to watch something.
Yeah.
And we won. We're 1-0.
I got my
I don't know.
They were saying before the game that it would have been the All-Star break right now. Like how many I'm curious just like what the season would have looked like had it not been this. It's kind of it'd be cool just to see where we would have been at. But I'm so glad we're back finally.
Enough of the hypotheticals. We have a real season now.
Actual stuff to talk about right now.
Every other episode we've talked about have just been like, you know, like
what if this, what if that?
What could happen? Now we got real shit to talk about.
What did happen?
What
happened? What happened is
we got rained out.
That's what happened. Right.
Most 2020 thing that ever happened.
That is the most 2020 thing. The funniest thing too is that I tweeted it out before. And it was like the most 2020 thing would be if this game got rained out. And then Andrew Rotondi like responded to us and he was like, no, the most 2020 thing ever would be a really super long, annoying rain delay. and then that almost happened. He was like,
I said at 9 o'clock we should have recorded. Here we are at 11:30.
Yeah, we were planning on recording in the middle of it. We were like, should we just start now? And then we didn't want to start because if they came back and they didn't give any information, the only person giving information was Brian Hoke. And honestly, on the topic of rain delays, we were trying to understand the rules because, the old rule that was five innings, like it's official game after five innings. And I thought that was still applicable. But I think A-Rod screwed up and said that. What did he say, Murph?
I don't know. I don't know if he screwed up or if it was just misleading. But they were talking about like the new rule for rain delays, which – after looking at what it is, it's basically in years prior, if the game like got canceled after it ran delay before the fifth inning, they would restart on like a makeup game. But now in order to limit the amount of time on the field, they would pick up from where they left off if it was in the fourth inning or the first inning or whatever.
Yeah, so the only difference...
I could be wrong. I don't know.
No, I think you're right. Because what they were saying was some rule has completely, radically changed, but the only change that I've noticed that I think is true is what you said. It's instead of completely redoing the game, if they haven't reached the five-inning mark, they'll just pick up from where they left off no matter what. So well, in our case,
the way A-Rod phrased it was basically implying that here we are in the sixth inning. Yeah, like here we are in the sixth inning, like as if they would have to finish past the sixth inning, like because it's
A-Rod just wanted to sound smart. A-Rod was just saying big words to make him seem like he was smart and like intelligent and make him
help his cause.
Which should not. Like, I swear to God, every time you try to explain something, he would go on and be like, "And that's why Tyler Wade is bunting the ball to the right side of the field," and
he got a hit, and he's
baseball.
Helping.
And then he would be like, "That's baseball."
It's like he was trying to be Tony Romo a little bit. Like when Tony Romo went on CBS and he's like calling the plays out beforehand, and everybody was like, "Wow, Tony Romo was awesome to have in the booth." Like A-Rod just wants
to be like A-Rod was trying to be Tony Romo and just kind of failed.
It's a great name to have in the box. In theory, he should be perfect for it, but.
And they kind of hype him up a little too much. I feel like every other stat is like, oh, Gleyber Torres was, you know, the youngest shortstop in Yankees history to hit 38 home runs. Who else did that? And then like, A-Rod, that's you. And I'm like, we go over this every fucking game. It's like we always.
And then
like,
they asked him, and they're like, "Do you remember anything about that?" And he's like, "You can tell he didn't." He's
like, a long time ago.
You know what I do remember? He's like, "I remember it being a lot of fun. I was playing with a lot of really good guys, like Griffey and Randy Johnson and Edgar Martinez and Dante Bichette and blah, 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 blah."
But they said that today. What they brought up today was, do you remember when you hit 40-something home runs? Like, that was a long time ago. Look at these guys out here. Judge Stanton hit a bomb today. That's wild.
Did you hear the question that he asked the Nationals head coach? Before the game started?
I don't think so.
It was such like a he like set him up just to be like such an awkward position. He was like, you know, since Zimmerman isn't playing, since you lost Rendon, you know, Soto's hurt, like who are you really looking to like be good?
You said Howie Kendrick, right?
Yeah, he was like, hey, Howie Kendrick, we got Scherzer, right. We got a bunch of guys to step up. And like, look at like the manager's fans, just like, you fucking asshole. Why are you asking me this question?
How are you going to score runs when all of your runs are gone?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, no, their lineup really didn't look good. Like, I kind of forgot that Rendon was on the Nationals. I guess that's like the biggest thing where I was like, wow, we really haven't watched baseball in a while. Because for me, now Rendon is like fully associated with the Angels. Like, I kind of forget that he was on the Nationals.
Yeah, it's true.
So when I'm going through the roster, they're going through them. Like, I know Soto's out, but like, there are names in there I don't even recognize. So I'm like,
I was looking at that roster and I was like, this team won a World Series last year. And a lot of people are missing, but I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but the pitching's still there. That's
pitching's still there,
You just don't see the other starting pitchers in one game. But honestly, Scherzer, you know what pissed me off about tonight? They kept talking about how, I saw in Twitter, this obviously isn't a good indication of how everybody's feeling, but I saw it a lot. So I'll say it. I'll be the first. But what I did notice was a bunch of people were saying like, oh, Cole doesn't look good. Scherzer looks good. Scherzer's striking out 11 people. But yeah, he gave up fucking 4 runs. What do you mean? Like,
yeah, Scherzer gave six hits.
I don't give a fuck how many. Yeah, I don't care how many strikeouts you have. You gave up 4 earned in 2 innings. Like,
yeah.
Fuck out of here. Garrett Cole gave up a home run.
Yankees strike out
and then he hit a guy. Yeah, it's the Yankees too, but we're still scoring runs, so who gives a fuck?
Right, and the fucking Hernandez, Angelo Hernandez wasn't helping the cause either.
Angel Hernandez
wasn't helping the cause.
He wasn't like so bad. There were obviously some off.
I mean, there were a couple obvious ones that were like both sides too.
But then again,
he didn't have
enough time to screw up big time because there wasn't like a classic Angel Hernandez moment because the game got rained out.
So. You know, everybody on the Yankees struck out except for Gleyber and Wade. That's at least once.
I'm telling you, Tyler Wade, dude.
And then Governor and Gary Sanchez both went down 3 times. That's pretty wild to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's my one concern. That's what the one concern I'll take away. Except when Adam Eaton went yard off Garrett Cole and I immediately was like, oh, great, we shouldn't have signed him.
So let's get back into Garrett Cole for a second because I was talking about the difference between Scherzer, who struck out 11 or however many. He strikes people out, so does Cole, but gave up 4. And everyone's like, oh, Cole, like even the people who are more rational that I've spoken to in the last hour or so, people are just like, yeah, he had a pretty decent start. Like, honestly, he kind of fucking dealt. He gave up the one home run, then he hit somebody. His ending line was 5 innings pitched, 5 strikeouts, 1 hit, 1 run. Like,
One hit over five innings is
over 70, like seven pitches he threw, and he gave up one hit, and it was a home run, and it was early, and he missed. And the second he gave up that home run, you guys could see he was like huffing and puffing, like he got angry. And I love that kind of energy from a guy. Like, you know, you don't see that on the, we haven't seen that in so long since CC and AJ Burnett back in like whatever, when we just acquired CC. Like, that was just, I don't know.
Yeah,
he's a gamer. He's a gamer, dude.
He was dealing. And then he started throwing 99 after that. Like, he was sitting at 99.
Those are the kind of pitchers that I love. The kind of pitchers I love are the ones that Verlander does the same thing too. So, but I don't like Verlander. But like, they start off a little slow and then they start gaining velocity as the game goes on. I just love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of most pitchers, but.
Yeah. I mean, Gerrit Cole, I mean, it was the first game of the season, but for a first game of the season, he was dealing. He was absolutely dealing. And one run off one hit, you know, he had a good shot. There's nothing you can do about that. Like, but the whole rest of the game, like, he was fucking dealing.
And that's the thing. Like, the strikeouts weren't there, especially when you put it up against Scherzer's 11, I think he had, and Cole only had 5. And, like, you expect higher strikeout numbers from Cole, but
who gives a
Scherzer's arguably a better strikeout pitcher, at least maybe not within the last 2 years, but definitely that's before that. True.
But here's the thing, though. Like,
since 2012, they showed the stats. Scherzer was first in every single kind of strikeout category.
Well, I mean, last year,
compared to anybody,
326.
No, I know. Yeah, I know he had a crazy amount of strikeouts last year. But like, except for last year and the year before, like, Scherzer's been the best strikeout pitcher in baseball for that long. And
I'm not discounting Scherzer.
So I'm not concerned. Hall of Famer. Because the Nationals are built up of people that get the bat on the ball. You have Trey Turner. You have Howie Kendrick. Those guys, they don't strike out the same way Judge and Stanton and Gary do.
And here's the thing. I think that we overhyped strikeouts a little bit, especially because of Gerrit Cole. We were expecting him to strike out 10, 12 people every game. And the one thing A-Rod did say that I thought was interesting was that he was saying that the Yankees are playing small ball this game. Like, they were, like, you know, getting on. They're getting somebody over. They're getting somebody in. It was like the classic small ball game. And then he mentioned that it's not the same Yankees as we used to see, where it's just strikeouts and home runs. And I know it doesn't relate to like their hitting exactly, but the whole strikeout home run of what people are looking for in a game, it's like those sexy headlines of home runs per game, strikeouts per game. But when the reality is, he got people out. You know, he had 5 innings of great pitching, had one hit, one run, whatever, but he got people out. And that's what really matters. And he was fucking dealing. So
yeah,
I'm happy.
It's all about how you get the outs. It's similar to that on the offensive side too. Like, I don't give a fuck about strikeouts, because if you're getting on base percentage at a 400 clip like Judge does, I don't know how anybody ever ridicules Judge for having a high strikeout rate, because who the fuck cares? If his on base percentage is among the top 2 in the league behind Mike Trout only, like, that's just ridiculous. It's just some statistics don't fucking matter. Like, wins as a pitcher don't matter, because Jacob DeGrom has been one of the best pitchers in the last 3 years we've ever seen, and he has like 4 wins a year. Like, it's just a lot of statistics don't really matter at all, and that is one of the ones that I don't really give a fuck. But one thing I did like that you mentioned, Damon, was the small ball thing.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, this is a little bit of a like overreaction because we've seen one game, but
you saw it though. You saw
you saw glimpses,
you know.
You saw the Tyler Wade 3-1 count laying down the bunt trying to
get it. That was ridiculous. That was
But you know what, though? I like that, because that's his role. He knows he can't hit the broadside of a barn, so lay down the bunt, 3-1. And then you saw the next AB, he bunted for a hit. So honestly, is it ridiculous? Because I think he has better odds to get a hit if he's laying down a bunt versus swinging away. And that's just – that. Maybe that's attributed it to his fantastic speed. Maybe that's because he's so bad at like hitting.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's either or. I just think you got that kind of speed, why not play with to your strength, you know?
Play your strength, yeah. I was about to say that. Yeah,
jinx.
I think this is gonna be a big year for where any team in the MLB is gonna have to start playing small ball. And I think the Yankees aren't really built that well to play small ball. But the exception to that is Tyler Wade. So I think that's another way that he's just going to find his way in his kind of niche in the lineup and mm-hmm. on the roster in general, yeah. where he kind of, I guess, compliments but also contradicts the rest of the way the
dude. Lineup. I'll tell you, if he could hit a little bit better, he would be like, you think about a righty dominant lineup. He is a speedy lefty who, if he could just fucking make contact sometimes and be a decent hitter, he's such a utility guy.
He does
make such an impact.
Everything else so well. Not even just like, okay. He's
a hustler on the bases.
Speed. Making, he was on first plays. Base on that single by Judge. It was a single. That was, I don't know if that was a double. He was on first base and he scored. But obviously the camera angles were bad, but I blinked and he was already at home.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It just, if the outfield wasn't shifted, it probably would have been a single. But I think they were shifted to the right a little bit, so it would have been a double. But Wade on first definitely helped.
The wall. And so like, to have the frame of mind as Tyler Wade to start busting your ass out of first base on the chance that you get home on that is why I've liked him for the past 2 years and since I started the Tyler Wade fan club.
I'll give yes.
That's the way he plays. That's the way
because you know. You know for a fact he was thinking home as soon as that ball was
second
hit.
That ball, probably before contact. He's probably doing anything in the outfield grass. I'm hauling ass around second, seeing where it is, and then probably trying to go home if I have even a remote chance of getting there, which it's he just, did. And they didn't even get the throw home. The throw got cut off.
See, it's the thing, too. Like, when you're watching the game, like, obviously, I was watching very intensely. I was watching every play. Like, you know a situation where you probably, like, okay, single here will score him, double here will score him. I wasn't even thinking that Wade could score. And when I, like, the play was over, he was already, like, gone. He was just laying on the ground. He was just sprawled out at behind home plate.
Well, A-Rod was saying, like, as he's rounding third, like, they're like, oh, they're going to test him, like, thinking it's going to be a close play at the plate and the throw didn't even close. Get there. Like, because you're not – nobody's thinking that. It just happened. And may you make plays. And that's how he's going to make plays. He's going to make plays in the field. He's going to make plays on the base paths.
Speed kills, man.
And I'm here for it. I'm here for every single second of it.
And I'll give you all the credit in the world because I've been a big spokesperson for the Tyler Wade fan club, but you were the founder. Allegedly, Scott tried to start it in 2016, but we...
Well, if I knew about it back then, I would have been first mate on that train.
Yeah. So, but honestly, though, let's... How much consideration do you put into Tyler Wade? Because obviously, we love Tyler Wade. We know he can't hit for shit, but he does everything else right. Great player, but he has no spot in the starting lineup, obviously. He's waiting until DJ comes back. So, my question is to you guys. He showed out tonight. He really did well in every facet of the game, defensively, offensively, just all the little things. How much did that add to his stock, if any? Like, what did that change tonight? Did it change anything?
I don't know if it changed anything. He's not – I think he knows he's not cracking the starting lineup as long as it's healthy. Like, he's not taking DJ's spot. I don't think anybody debates that. So I think he's just kind of solidifying how useful he can be. And that's – I just think he's going to be the perfect plug guy. I kind of almost think he's going to be similar to Romine. But in a weirdly different way where, like, he's just reliable. Where when he's in there, you get the same feeling as you did with Romine, where it's not that big of a difference. Yeah. And you're not like, oh, wow, that's a hole in our lineup tonight.
It's a weirdly, like, accurate comparison.
If it makes sense, it makes sense. I don't know. Like, it's just he has nothing to do with Romine. They're completely different.
No, but
players.
I get
seeing his name in the lineup is similar to how Romine
is. He's a formidable backup. Yeah. And, like, you're never – upset when you see Romine. You are a little upset that Romine's in the game, but like he's very capable of picking up the slack whenever
DJ wasn't in there, but Wade showed out. Great.
I think that he solidified or is on his way to solidifying his spot on a playoff roster or a 25-man roster when I start cutting it down.
I think that's what happened tonight. Because
like he's proving time and time again that, hey, listen, I know I'm not going to hit home runs. I'm going to bunt and get on. I'm going to run my fucking heart out. I'm going to play the field. I can do these things. I can play infield. I can play outfield. Like, he's proving his spot as being just that guy who can be a perfect, perfect utility guy. And that is someone we need so, so much going forward in the playoffs.
We don't have that.
And it's such a rare – it's a rare thing that people don't think about a lot of times. Like, that off-the-bench guy.
That's why the Yankees signed Terrence Gore, and then he never cracked the lineup ever. Remember that?
Yeah. But I will say, like, I think of Clint Frazier in the same way I think of Tyler Wade. Like, I think he's the same kind of guy. He plays the game the right way. He has, like, that kind of fire lit under his ass where he's trying to crack the lineup, and for some reason he plays this game the same way. And I just see him as the outfield version of Tyler Wade. It couldn't just hit, and he can't really field. But, like,
stop playing with
in terms of roster spots and filling holes.
Stop playing with that pen.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Not a pen, sorry. But,
yeah. Stop doing that. I can hear it.
And it's sure a divot tool.
I'm sure everybody listening can hear it. You're the worst. So, yeah, no. I don't even know what you said. I was just so focused on the pen.
Sorry. Yeah, no. What did you say? Tyler Wade, basically.
Yeah, I could see that.
Wait, what did you say, Murph?
But no, the opposite. Clint is the opposite of the Tyler Wade. Clint is good at hitting and horrible at fielding.
Wade. I just meant in terms of the plug guy. Like, he's the outfield plug. Yeah. Tyler Wade's the infield plug.
See, well, actually, very much so agree, because they both have one bugaboo that is keeping them from being their full potential. So, yeah. Honestly, yeah.
But here's something that I know we wanted to bring up is, well, first of all, Gardner. I'll talk about him for a little bit, because I know this is going to be a way overreaction. I think, Rel, you brought it up first, but he wasn't anything special tonight. I'm not going to hold anything against him. It was one game. But I think now's the time that I really want to start thinking about who is going to be a true left fielder that we can rely on and count on moving forward. Because let's just say Gardner shits the bed for 4 or 5, hopefully not longer than that, but he continues to just not produce, and Stan's killing it in DH and it can't be a left fielder. Who are we throwing out there? So I want to be able to have someone who we can put out there on a daily basis that we can hopefully have be a left fielder for, you know, 4 or 5 more years down the road.
Yeah, here's why I don't think that's an overreaction. And I said this before the game even started. I personally think Gardner is going to have a horrendous year. I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. I mean, I could be completely wrong, but I really don't think he's going to be that good. I think the only thing he had a great year last year. Don't get me wrong. He had a bunch of home runs. Balls were juiced, and they still might be, so that might help him. But I really don't think he's going to be that good, and that's not that harsh of an assumption, because he's getting up there in age, and his main factor was speed. But besides the point, the main reason behind me calling out Brett Gardner, so to speak, is that it's less about Brett Gardner being bad this year. It's more about there's so many shiny new tools in the outfield depth that I want to see. It's like a bunch of itches that you just want to scratch. Like, you want to see if they are legit. And, like,
100%.
We know what we have in Brett Gardner, and we know that it's just going to be continue to depreciate. Like, the ceiling is way overdue. Like, there's nothing extra we're going to get out of Brett Gardner. He's not going to just turn into Mike Trout tomorrow. Like, we know what we had in Brett Gardner, and anything we've seen of him, it's just going to be worse than that, because it's just going to be depreciating. Like, there's no value in keeping him in. It's like, for example, like Chris Davis on the Orioles. What's the point of playing him? I know there's a huge contract you got to pay him. I know this analogy is retarded. It's just crazy, but I don't know. Like, why not? My point being, like, why not use some of the prospects to see if they got it?
Yeah.
You know?
He's the heart and soul. He's a heart and soul guy. I'm sorry. I was biting my tongue through that whole rant. I disagree. I don't think there's any reason to say that Brett Gardner's going to have a horrible year based off game one of
6. It wasn't based on game one.
He had a career year last year in terms of home runs at the very least. I agree there are all these bright and shiny tools that you want to use. I want to see Talkman play. I want to see Frazier play. But I completely disagree that we can just say, oh, this is going to be Brett Gardner's horrible year. If he plays bad, you guys are going to be like, all right, yeah, like we told you it was going to be bad.
This is less about Brett Gardner, more about the guys. Yeah, this is so much less about Brett Gardner underproducing, more about having potential on the bench that we're not utilizing.
You obviously didn't listen to my mini rant.
No, yeah. I did, because you compared him to Chris Davis, and that was
besides the point.
I was sitting there like, what the hell are you talking about?
To be honest, I blacked out. I didn't even hear that part.
Yeah, but so that's why I'm coming back like with this guns blazing. I wasn't
thinking about it. Here's what I'm saying. I'm confident that you take Clint Frazier, you put him on 20 different teams that are not the top 10 best teams in the league, he's going to be a starting left fielder on that team. He's going to be a 2-4 in the lineup hitter. He's going to have a real impact on a lot of these teams. Because I know for a fact that he's a fucking awesome hitter, and a lot of the teams would sacrifice him in the field just to have him in the field, to have him in the lineup. I don't know if that's the same about Talkman. I truly don't. He's only had like the last couple months. I mean, sorry. He's only had a couple months span of really being dominant on the Yankee lineup. He wasn't great when he was on the Rockies. Like, you know, he's been around the league for a little while. I'm trying to say is that, like, I don't want to lose a guy like Clint Frazier to just have Brett Gardner in the lineup, just to have Brett Gardner in the lineup. I want him to be able to go out there and shine and prove himself to be a starting left fielder we can rely on for 4 or 5 years to come. I want Talkman to come out there and prove that he can still go out and produce, and hopefully he can be a starting left fielder for 4 or 5 years to come. I want to be able to have those guys go out there and prove themselves so that we can, like, find another guy to be our guy in left field instead of just, like, swapping in and out.
Sure, but I don't want to push Brett Gardner to the door and kick his ass on the way out. Like, he's been since 09. He's been the heart and soul of the Yankees for so long. If he starts hitting 230, pull him out, put Clint Frazier.
Obviously, I think that's why I said, yeah.
I don't think we should encourage him to suck so we can pull him.
That's not what I'm saying. I encourage him. I'm not encouraging him to suck. I'm just foreseeing. This is just my prediction. It's just ridiculous. Yeah, that's so Raven. I have a future. Like, I don't know. I just don't think he's going to be that good this year. And that's not a crazy assumption considering that he's just older. I just don't. I'm saying that my main point was I want to see these other guys play. We have such depth in the outfield. And honestly, even more depth than we think we have, because I want Stanton to play the outfield. I don't want him to clog the DH spot. So that's another person in the outfield I want to throw in the rotation. So if Stanton plays left field, you got Hicks in center, and you have Judge in right. Gardner has no place there. And then the rest of them, like, the bench players are – they're just that. They're bench players. But, like, at that point, I get Brett Gardner is the heart and soul of the Yankees, and I love him. And he's still going to be on the team. I just don't think that – I don't know. I just think that I want to see other players play in his place because I think there's a lot more potential there.
Yeah. Because, again, I think that's
that – nobody's debating that.
Yeah. It's like, again, like, obviously if he's doing well, you can't take him out. But I'm saying that if he goes on a run of, you know, 10 games where he's just underproducing, give the next guy a shot. Even if it's just
putting – I'm on board for that.
No, yeah, like, even if it's like – I hope Stanton gets healthy into a point where we can throw him out in left field, then maybe even just, like, throw Clint in the DH spot. Have him, you know, get some reps at DH and then maybe, you know, put him in there. I'm just really – my main point is I don't want to waste the guys on the bench who can potentially be our future – stars in the outfield.
Yeah,
That's my main point.
Let's end this. So why don't we segue into another point, because you brought up Stanton, and Stanton, obviously, I've been a big supporter of Stanton and the Stanton comeback tour. Although he's never really had a down year ever, he just was injured last year. And the year before that, he had 100 plus RBIs and 30 plus home runs in his first year in New York. And the year before that, he won the MVP. So Stanton showed out tonight. He hit the home run. And then he had a double, RBI double. Kid looks good. Kid looks like he can swing it. Man, kid, whatever you want to call him.
Man, child.
What is it going to take for – there are so many Stanton haters out there, and I hope you guys are one of them. What's it going to take for – what does he have to do? Like, because even tonight, he hits the home run, and you see everybody supporting him. Like, oh, great, he hit the home run. Awesome. The opening day started off with a bang. Like, he hits the home run, Judge is on second. Everything's great in the world. And then he strikes out, and everyone's like, oh, Stanton's back. Look at him again. Like, what's it going to take to just break that stigma? Does he need to win MVP again? Because he very well could this year.
He needs to stay healthy, and he needs to produce out of the DH spot. And then if we ask him to play left, he has to play left. I'm with you where I was down on Stanton for a bit, but I'm kind of back a little bit. I don't usually like to teeter-totter too much, but on Stanton, I can't really make much out of it because he was hurt. But yeah, there was a certain point in the game where A-Rod was talking while Stanton was up, and he was talking about how the no fans is actually probably going to help Stanton out a little bit, because the reason that everybody in New York as a fan base doesn't like him is because the way A-Rod said it is they're smart, they're intelligent, which same word, and they're passionate and they're tough. And so Stanton just kind of, the theory is that he didn't play very well in the New York crowds, and there's no crowds now. So maybe he kind of gets his mojo back a little bit if he stays healthy and swings the bat, which
I think the staying healthy part is a bigger factor, because he played a whole year in New York and he had decent stats, right? Over 100 RBIs. What was that stat line in his first year in New York?
He had over 30 home runs and over 100 RBIs.
That's a fucking great year.
He didn't technically play a full year because he got injured for like 10 games, but he played 150 some odd games. He had 18 games or so last year, just scraped that year away. It didn't happen. People have injured years. That just happens. But me and you had looked at it for the roll call episode for him, and every other year, for the most part, aside from the year that he got hit in the face by a baseball from Mike Fiers, he has played nearly the full season.
Yeah.
He is durable. I don't know what people call him injury prone. And on the injury prone note, did you see Judge's comments about the injury prone stuff? That I thought that was so cool, because it's what we've all been saying
that is a fluke
the longest time. Because I forget who it was. I think Meredith Marakovic was interviewing him, and she was like, I don't know how it came up, but basically what he said was echoing what we've all been saying. It's like, I mean, you go out, you dive for a ball, you try to make a play for your pitcher, and you break a rib, that's not being injury prone. And if that's being injury prone, like, I'm not going to stop doing that. I'm going to keep trying to make the plays.
Yeah.
Getting hit in the wrist, same thing. That was
that was another one too.
Yeah. I was trying to signal for you, trying to do this, and I don't know.
Yeah, and that's why I feel like the injury part of it is bigger than the fan. I think the fan part of it definitely, it might help a little bit, but I don't think that's a huge, huge factor. I think that because Stan is a home run ball hitter and does strike out a good amount of times, and then Yankees fans hate him at the field, that I think has some, you know, has some leeway. But again, like, the guy produces, and I don't know if the fan part of it is a really, like, I think it's a sad excuse, in my opinion.
No, that's fair, but that's just what A-Rod said. But it'd be cool, like, if that was I almost wish that was a factor now, because then we'd in theory see the Stanton that we're paying for. But yeah, I agree. Yeah. He has. If you put the two seasons together and you get the 150 some odd games and he hits 30 plus home runs, 100 plus RBIs, that's great. There was a point in the game today that he was hitting and Judge was on second, and I just had this like thing come over me, and it just felt great where they looked so cool. They're both, you know, 6'7", 6'8", and it just epitomized like the evil empire thing where we have like the two biggest, baddest players in the MLB,
and they're back
and
to
they're
back.
Just and they're mm-hmm. and they're both healthy right now, which is like, I just, you feel know, like I hadn't really appreciated that because they haven't been on.
Well, the field we haven't seen it, and so and you know what, a crazy stat that I saw, I think it was a couple games ago, the inter-squad games, they haven't, the amount of games where they've hit home runs in the same game, one.
Really? It's wild.
One game they have both hit home runs in.
Do you know how many they've played
together?
Yeah.
Probably not a lot either, because I feel like
50 maybe.
I feel like when one was injured, the other one was on.
And yeah.
The
other,
that's the way it's been working.
Dude, when they're both healthy and they're both in the lineup and they're both producing, that's scary. That was a very, very brief glimpse tonight of what that's going to be like.
Yeah. It's like, there's so nothing you can do. Like, especially if a guy like Wade's getting on base. Like, Wade gets on base, Hicks, say, walks. I think this might have even happened. I'm trying to, like, paraphrase it. And then Judge is up with two outs. And then maybe you get around Judge. Maybe you give up a single or walk him. Or even if he gets out, then you got Glaber to deal with. Then you got
LeMahieu comes
Stan to deal with. I didn't even think about LeMahieu. Like, yeah. There's not a lot of let up in the lineup. And then when you get down to like the, you know,
you pinch hit with Clint Frazier, and then like, it's just the bats are not the issue here. This and team
like,
is
Sanchez, they can like,
yeah. And like the thing that that I was looking at a little more technical with Stan, but what the two things I noticed, one was he on that single to right field, he went exactly with the ball. He wasn't trying to do too much. The ball was outside, fastball. He just went with the ball and just flicked to the right field. Like, that's who you like to see. Second thing I noticed was on the breakaway sliders to the outside corner, one, he wasn't chasing them
a lot. And two, he looked a little more balanced. I know he swung and missed on like two of them, but he wasn't, he usually is like, you know, he's leaning over there all the time, but on that low and away slider, he was like standing still. He saw it coming. He wasn't flinching his stance. He was like sturdy and he was like ready to hit it. So,
yeah. I mean, at what point?
Because that RBI double was opposite field too. On a pitch that was outside of the zone and he still reached
it. He just looks a lot more comfortable.
I mean, honestly though, for him, at what point do you know that they know that's the scouting report and then you just stop swinging at anything remotely close to the outside of the zone? Because it's so obvious, and there's obviously the recurring joke that he can't lay off the low and away slider. At what point does he just stop swinging it out, anything that looks remotely outside? Because then he knows that's like what everybody's MO is when they go into an at-bat against him, you know?
I'm sure he does.
I'm sure that's how it's going down now, at least, because you had all this time to think about things, and now you're like, okay, you know, if everybody is throwing this low and away slider to me, they all have the same scouting report, and I'm a meme. Maybe I should just stop swinging at anything outside altogether, and they got to throw to me, and then I hit home runs, and that's what I do best. And that's,
he's a fastball hitter, and Scherzer throws 50% fastballs and 25, almost 30% sliders. He hardly throws anything else.
So did you notice tonight, speaking of that, did you notice tonight that he threw like 13 sliders in a row?
It wasn't one of his better innings. Like, I think that was
his worst inning, I think.
It wasn't a good, I think it was like the third inning or something.
Yeah, it dated back to the Tyler Wade at bat where he walked him. That was one thing.
Wasn't that Stanton's RBI double?
Yeah.
No?
I think so. No.
I can't remember now.
I'm not sure. Either way, I just think, I don't know. I just love this team. I love the Yankees.
I didn't even
when we're operating, we're playing, and everyone's doing their job. Like it is, like that was a brief glimpse of what it can be tonight.
Yeah, obviously these are. I mean, honestly, I don't even feel like we are overreacting because they just showed what they are. Like we know
they can be too.
We're gonna produce runs from Stanton hitting home runs and Judge. We didn't even talk about Judge yet, did we?
No, he's batting 1,000.
Judge's batting 1,000. Is he still batting 1,000?
He had 2 at bats.
He's 2 for 2, right?
He may have had that third at bat.
He had a third at bat with the bases loaded, though, I thought.
Yeah, I think he's 2 for 3.
Oh, whatever. Oh,
no, he struck out.
All right, 667.
That's not bad. That's math. Good math, Damon. Thanks. But, I mean, dude, that's another thing, too. We're talking about Stanton not doing too much. I love when this happened last year too. I love when Judge doesn't do too much. I love when Judge takes what he gets and everybody's worried. There was a whole bullshit where everybody was worried like, oh, Judge hasn't pulled a ball in forever. Judge hasn't pulled a home run all season. Judge only hits them opposite field. How many in the beginning of the season too, when he was playing, it was like, oh, Judge hasn't hit a home run. Judge is only hitting singles, yet he was batting .330. And everyone's like, what's going on? This isn't the Judge we know. It's like, if Judge hits 330 and he still has the power to hit home run whatever the fuck he wants to, let him do that. Because that is way more effective than just batting like 250 at Chris Davis, 247 every year and hitting 50 bombs. It's just useless. If the whole team is doing that, and Stanton seems to be doing it that way too, obviously overreaction, it's one game, but Judge has showed tendencies to do this in the past, and like he doesn't necessarily have to be the guy that hits home run every time. He will take what he gets, and not only is he hitting singles, he was smoking the ball. Like I think the Statcast was showing 109, showing 110.
Hicks hit one over 100.
Yeah. I mean, the exit velo is not an issue on this team, but I'm just saying, Judge, I love what I saw out of him. Obviously, the defense is always going to be there, but just leading by example, getting on that two-hole, Stan smashes him in. Just nothing to hate about that.
Yeah.
They're hitting it hard. I mean, with that, it set the tone in the first inning. Hicks got out in the first inning, but he hit 100-mile-an-hour rip at second base. They made a nice play. Then Judge rips one 100 miles an hour down the line. Then I think Glaber struck out maybe, and then Stanton hits one 460 to left center, and it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Glaber seems a little quiet tonight, but obviously one game doesn't really matter, and he's been hot during inter-squads.
His stance changed a bit. I don't know why.
He looks a little more back
farther, right?
Yeah, I feel like he puts a little more pine tar on it. I don't know. I feel like, you know what he looks a little more like evil, like villain, and I like it. You know what I mean? Is that just like a little bit of him? Maybe that's just him looking more like a elite player now. Like he no longer looks like that rookie who's just a phenom. He's Gleyber Torres. Like, you know about him now. And I think he's just coming into that his own. He's always been swaggy, but I just feel like, for lack of a better word, he looks evil. Like, he looks like the evil empire, the villain. Like,
he's got a swagger to him.
Yeah.
Like, there's a difference between being swaggy and having swagger. I feel like there's a, like, swagger is somewhat intimidating and swaggy's flashy. Like, that's how I think of it. And I feel like he has swagger now.
Yeah,
as opposed to being swaggy.
See, he has the sauce. The juice expires. The sauce is forever. And he's got that. So,
believe that.
Believe that.
Believe that.
But honestly, though, he does. He looks different. He looks like he's
not,
like, this is him. We saw no fluke. Like, he hasn't broken out yet. He's just, his ceiling is sky high. The kid's 23 years old. He's my age. It's just ridiculous that he's so good at baseball.
Yeah,
I'm just so excited for this team.
Let's transition a little bit, because going on the different side of the diamond is first base and Voit.
Rough transition, but yeah, let's do it.
That went a lot better in my head than I just kept thinking about juice and sauce, and I was like, I was gonna try and connect that, but believe whatever. That. I want to talk about Voit, because
believe that
he looks like someone's gonna take his job.
I've been saying this, dude. And notice the verbs, the terms I used on the post, the change my mind post. I said Mike Ford can take Luke Voit's job, because I didn't want to startle anybody. But I'm going to be honest, man. I don't really like Luke Voit.
Here's the thing. I think that Luke Voit was better when he was bigger. Like, when I saw Luke Voit, I pictured Luke Voit as this, like, big power bat, and he is, like, this threat in the lineup that when he's hot, he's hot. When he lost all that weight and he slimmed down, he just looks like he doesn't belong in the lineup, which is, like, a weird thing to say, but when I was looking at him today batting, I was like, who is this guy? What have you done with this first baseman? He just doesn't look like he is, like, anywhere. Like, he doesn't look like he belongs in this lineup. He just looks so uncomfortable. And I think that when we saw him play in spring training down in Florida, it was the same exact thing. He just didn't look like he felt comfortable with the at-bats. He was swinging and missing. He had no idea what pitch was coming. And I don't know. I just feel like that first base spot is just kind of wide open, in my opinion. And there's a lot of people hungry to take that.
And I've been talking about this for a while. I think Voit, to me, for the longest time, and I've been saying this for a while, that he just never really gave me the confidence at the plate to get a hit. Like, regardless of stats, I did the Luke test, the eye test, and he just didn't really do it for me. But Mike Ford can swing the bat, and he could. I mean, Voit is no Gold Glover at first base, so that's not an added advantage that he has. And Ford isn't the fantastic either, but they're both very average defenders there, if not below average defending. The bats are why they're in the lineups. I just feel like Voit just doesn't. I don't know. The stats are different. The stats show that he's an efficient player, and I don't know. But Ford,
I just feel like I haven't seen him get a hit. I haven't seen him getting a hit in a long time.
That's my feeling. I never see him get a hit, but the stats show that he does well. And I watch every game, and I don't see it. I don't see where that's coming from. And I just think Ford, I mean, is a young guy, and he shows that he can fucking rake. And, like, honestly, you saw him in the minors hitting 500 plus. We knew about him when he came up. He's like, who is this dude hitting 500, and why has he not been up here forever? He comes up, struggles, obviously, because you're coming to the majors against the best pitching in the world. But once he settled in, now he's settled in, and he's fucking hitting. Like, he and dude Ford's, can hit. Like, he's a pure hitter.
He's a pure hitter, and
he is a much needed power lefty bat in a righty dominant lineup. And I think I said that beforehand. Like, I was looking at this lineup today, and the whole reason that Brett Garner was batting fifth today was because he was a lefty. And it would have been.
I'm not a fan of that either.
I'm not either, but it would have been, what, 4 or 5 power righties in a row? I don't give a fuck.
I don't really care about that.
I don't give a fuck, but like, it's nice to have a lefty power bat in the lineup. Maybe you break it up with Stanton and Judge. Like, they saw Boone do that last year, you know, breaking people up with regards to, you know, whatever side of the play they're hitting at. But that's just another factor that goes into his position and his ability to play.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we were talking about that with Wade, and if he could figure out how to hit, then he's a lefty bat. We always try to find these lefty bats. Why not take what's literally offered to you on a silver platter? Like, there is this good lefty bat that can replace a righty bat, and he's right there. I mean, honestly, and I don't, this isn't even a hot take, and Kev said the same thing. Like, on the post, he commented, he said, hot take, this isn't that hot of a take. Like, yeah. When I posted that, I thought it was a hot take, because a lot of people love Voit. A lot of people love Voit.
I won't say I love Voit, but I will say, sorry, I just want to make sure I'm on the right mic here. Okay, sweet.
No, you're good.
So, yeah, no, I will say that I think we're a little too quick, again, like Gardner, to push.
I don't think I am.
I'm not. I agree with everything you said about the lefty power bat situation. That's great.
It's not even about that, in my opinion. Like,
yeah,
it's not for me, like, again, stats prove me wrong, but I feel like when I watched him last season into spring training up until today, he just looks lost. I don't know how else to put it.
Well, that's where I was getting. That's the thing. Like, so in spring training, he did look lost to me as well. And today, he didn't look great either. And I think skinny Voit is a shell, literally, of what hefty Voit used to be. So that's the thing. Like, if Voit's going to continue down this path of looking lost and not producing, then, yeah, we should absolutely not be afraid to jump to Ford. But I don't, again, want to kick him out the door too fast.
Yeah,
here's where he differs from Gardner, in that obviously we can't kick Gardner out the door. Gardner is proven, like, he's done all these things, he's all these accolades, he's a tenured Yankee, yada yada yada. Voit isn't that. Voit, honestly, it's a weird like paradigm to me is that everybody in Yankee land, yeah, graduate student, I'm educated, whatever. SAT words.
All right, Rod.
No, but honestly, though, there's a weird situation with Yankees fans to me. Like, honestly, the reason why I felt that was a hot take, which I obviously you saw the poll, 52% said that they like Ford in the situation. So it's not even, that's clearly not a hot take if the majority is with me. But either way, reason why I thought that was a hot take is because for some reason, Yankees fans love Luke Voit. And I think people are still holding on to that couple month stretch where he came to the Yankees and absolutely knocked the cover off the ball for when he came up from that trade with the Cardinals for that playoff run. And that's what everybody remembers, like that triple off the wall in the wild card game or the ALDS. That score, it was bases loaded, whatever. Like, Luke Voit was fantastic then. But that was a run. And if people are so quick to just be like, okay, that's Luke Voit, then why not? Like, those are the same people that are writing off Stanton after a full MVP year hitting 57 home runs. Like, I just can't understand the mental of some of these Yankees fans. It's just, to me, Luke Voit hasn't ever really done that for me. He never really won it for me. He's always been on the cusp. And I'm not here just shitting on Luke Voit the entire time, because Luke Voit, the stats show he's been pretty good.
Let Burr speak. It looks like he's going to blow up.
You brought up the Stanton thing, and I feel like he's in a similar boat to Stanton, because like Stanton, he played through injury last year, so he had pretty bad numbers when he did play, and then he was injured for the rest of the season. He had that hernia thing going that he probably shouldn't have been playing through.
Yeah.
And 2 years ago, he hit 35 home runs when he came over from the Cardinals. So until Luke Voit gives me a reason to say, hey, let's try Mike Ford, I don't think we should jump to Mike Ford at all. I don't see – if again, and this is the only reason I'm tying it to Gardner is because I think it's the same thing where it's their job to lose completely. And I think we just kind of forgot about Voit. I think he's kind of gone by the wayside, and I think people forget – how good he actually is. And
we
how
forgot
good
he about him because he hasn't done anything.
Because he was hurt. He had a sports hernia.
But you don't forget about somebody if they're producing and they are consistently, you know, had an injury, come back hot. Like, he didn't do that.
He was playing hurt.
What?
Because he was playing hurt. He
Judge
was playing
through that sports hernia. He was hitting fucking home runs. I don't...
You can't... No, the reason, like, he didn't produce that well last year, but part of the reason for that is because he was playing every single day on
but
an injury that most people wouldn't have played through.
But I don't give a fuck. He only had 1 month of, like, good baseball. Then he got hurt, and then, you know, people forgot about him because he didn't. He didn't have that impact that makes him remember, like, rememberable of, like, oh, Luke Voit's coming back.
Rememberable.
Let's all sing and dance.
You don't hit 35 home runs in 1 month. He did have a great month, but it wasn't just 1 month. He was a nobody that came over from the Cardinals and absolutely tweaked for the second half of that season, the whole second half of that season. And he started off pretty hot last year, and then he got hurt. Then he played through it. Then he was out for the rest of the season. And that's why he's forgot, I think.
Whatever.
I think Ford is absolutely worth keeping in the lineup. He is a perfect pinch hit bat that we need.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we need to take him out at all. I'm just saying I am worried because he looks like he has no idea where he is.
That part I can agree with.
See, that's the main thing.
Ever since
Ford looks like a pure hitter.
I feel like every conversation we've been having in this podcast, somehow, some way, Murph decides to spin it and take it off topic, and then I say one thing, and he's like, "Oh yeah, of course, yeah."
Oh, that I agree.
Oh yeah, that, yeah, I agree with that.
I agree with that. Meanwhile, it's been that's what he always does, though. Me and him argue about things for 30 minutes, and then he'd be like, "Oh, but like we're saying the same thing," and I'd be like, "Yeah, but you're the one arguing." Either way. But I just think it's more of – it's definitely more – I was trying to say it was a conversation. I think it's very possible, not likely, but possible that he takes the job by the start of the playoffs. That I, and also, I will retract a statement because I made another statement saying that one person will take the spot of somebody else, and that's Miggy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that stands true anymore because my prediction was that Miggy would take Gio's job by the end of the season. I think Gio's safe for now. But if obviously the same contingency is there, if Gio slacks on the hitting side and Miggy starts doing well, I don't know. I just want to see Miggy have a spot in this lineup, and that ties back to the Stanton clogging up the DH spot. Like if Stanton just played fucking left field, we wouldn't have to start Gardner. And then we would have Miggy as a DH, and that's perfect situation.
That's another guy that is in the same kind of boat of what I was trying to say before. Of you have these guys who are so talented on the bench who could be these potential future stars of the Yankees, and I want to see them play. And I guess to sum up this conversation about Voit, like I think that if there's anyone to get kicked out of the lineup first, it's him. I think that him and Gardner are definitely the first to be swapped around. And hopefully we see these younger guys who are just like have that fire in them we know are going to produce can come out and play and show up.
Yeah. All right. The last thing I want to talk about before we end this bad boy, it's getting kind of late, game ended, we're waiting for the rain delay, yada, 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 is Manfred just decided – just like, oh, opening day, excitement, great stuff going on. Let me just slip in that we're just changing the playoff format to expanded playoffs. So basically the way it's going to work after a little digging, because it wasn't easy enough to get the like straight answers right off the rip. Like there was not clear to me at least what it was, just sifting through Twitter. So basically what's going to happen is it is 16 teams, which is over 50% of the teams, which is a lot of teams. And the top two seeds, so it's no longer the division winners, it's the division co-winners. The top two, obviously seeding matters, but the top two teams in each division are going to make the playoffs undoubtedly. And then it's the same situation for the last two seeds in each side for the wild card situation. There's no wild card, but it's going to be like at large. So the best records that didn't come in first and second place. So the best records of second, third, and third, fourth, and fifth in their division. The best overall record who didn't win, didn't come in first and second. That was a horrible explanation. But that's the way it's going to go. And on top of that, the way the playoff games are going to work is going to be, there's not going to be any wild card games. It's just going to be the one seed plays the eight seed for a three-game series, round one. Everybody plays round one. Nobody gets a bye. What do you guys think about that?
So apparently the big thing, like the – so normally you get a bye, and that's why you want to be first in your division. That's why you want to have the best record in baseball. And so you can have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Home field advantage doesn't matter as much now, but the three-game series,
at all,
the higher seeds home for all three games. Okay. Like, okay.
Also, great. Doesn't really matter that much.
Exactly. Like, all right. So I get why they're doing it in the sense that shortened season, more teams should get a chance to go to the playoffs. I get that. I don't. Like, for us, I just think it really puts us at a disadvantage because now, instead of just having to play the DSCS in the World Series, now we still have to win another series. And if a sneaky team like the Angels or the White Sox slides in there in the eighth seed and beats us in three games, like,
yeah,
that wouldn't happen.
For me, it kind of like in a sense, it de-intensified, if that's even a word, my original, no, is that not a word? No, survey says not a word. Okay. it made like my desire to watch like the intensity of every game a little bit lower, because when you first watched, we were like, every game matters. Every game is so important. We got to get to the top of the division. Only one team's moving on. Like you go on this losing streak. It's like losing this many games. And now it's like, oh yeah, the top two teams in the division get in. Home field advantage doesn't really matter because there's no fans either. And, you know, whatever. Like, I don't know. To me, it just kind of
see a lot of people
lowers the bar a little bit.
A lot of people on Twitter, like, there's all the excitement that opening day was happening in a couple hours, and this was just mixed in there. This caused a little bit of uproar on Twitter. And to be honest, I don't really hate it. I'm indifferent towards it. A lot of people were so strongly against it, but like, it's 2020. The season's already going to be different. Like, there's not, with everything is already changing. There's so many different rules. Like, if you don't think this year counts, it's not going to count any more or less with this addition of two teams to the playoff, like three teams to the playoffs on each side, six extra teams overall.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to impact that person's decision if it counts or not. So why not just make it more fun for everybody? And honestly, if you say you hate this, come talk to me when the playoffs start and we have a fucking wild, like, March Madness style tournament with so many teams are in it. And it, honestly, if you look at the amount of teams that obviously mathematically can make it, it's 16 out of 30, over 50% of the teams. If I don't have the stats in front of me, but like, who would have made it last year through 60 games, and it's also expanded playoffs? So not only do you, we were talking about this before this even was a consideration, you have the advantage of, because you're only playing 60 games. There's only 60 games, so the margin between teams is much smaller. So like, everybody in the NL East would have had an equal share of first place. Like, they're all so close to the top. We were only like a half game over the Rays after 60 games. All that stuff. So it's harder to spread yourself from other teams based on the length of games alone. On top of that, you're expanding the playoffs. So the amount of teams that actually have a legitimate shot to make the playoffs, do not count the Marlins out. Like,
I'm going to go ahead and count the Marlins
out. I'll count the Marlins out too. All right, here's the thing. Last year, the Mariners, best record in baseball through like 16 games. They're like 15-2 or like 17 games. If they're at 15-2 to start this season, and they have to be the better 50% of the league, they're making the playoffs because they're riding that. All you got to do is it's the confidence. You be like, okay, you know what? We're 15-2 now. We're 15-6, whatever you are, a good record. Let's just keep going. Let's stay with the hot hand.
I have no problem. I guess I should have rephrased it before. I'm not upset about it. I think I'm more upset that we were watching opening day than Manfred was just like, oh, yeah, by the way, it's in the playoffs. Here you go. And then it was just like, yeah. See ya. Like, he kind of just like dropped the pin into like a burning thing of gasoline. It was just like, there you go. Like, he kind of like backed away. And I feel like this entire season, all we talked about was the intensity of it. Sorry, this entire offseason. All we were talking about was the intensity of it. Every game matters. It's going to be like an NFL game, all this kind of stuff. Like, that's the only thing I'm upset about where I wish we, because obviously they had this idea in place before the season started, but the fact that they just kind of told us right now, it's a little, I guess, upsetting, disappointing, because it's kind of like deflates the intensity a little bit. But I don't really have like a strong opinion either way in terms of like the actual layout of it and if I hate it or don't or like love it or not like that.
Yeah, Damon, I'm with you. Like, we had. There was something very unique in baseball this year where you really have to nitpick and grind these regular season games to get to
the playoffs. That's why I was so excited.
The best teams in baseball may or may not make the playoffs. It's a game of streaks, and this took that away from it, which in a sense was a little bit of relief for me. Like, if the Yankees have injuries or if something happens where a couple players get COVID or something, like that kind of gives a little buffer, fine. The one thing Manfred said that I actually liked, and he said it when he was getting interviewed during the Yankees game tonight, is that they wanted to do for that three-game series, like 4 games a day, have them spread out, make it like a big thing, like basically a 4-game slate of playoff games, which doesn't really happen as much in the MLB.
Yeah.
Mostly 2 games at a time, sort of 2 games in a night. And like, I'm pretty excited to see that.
Yeah, which is cool. Like,
I think that's cool.
Again, like, I'm totally fine with the production of it. And if that's the way it's going to be, I'm sure it's going to be fucking awesome to watch. I'm just a little upset that they were like promoting the intensity of the game the entire off season, and then they were like, "Oh wait, no, we're actually going to do this." And then I was like, "Oh, okay, I'm cool with it." But like, it's a little misleading, and it kind of like fucked with my mentality of like the season coming into it.
I'm with you on that 100%.
That's how Manfred operates. What did he do before? He did something else. It was during like the draft, was it? It was during the NFL draft. During the NFL draft, what did he come out and say? Like, it was this massive thing.
Wasn't it like the Astros thing? No. That
no,
I know. I know you're talking about.
No, but I think, like, and I was. I know what it was. I think it was.
That was way too late. But
he just picks like. Like, no, other moments about, to like, drop.
He picks convenient times to drop horrible news about the
NBA. Yeah, yeah.
I think
it was the news. On this, I think it was the news that he was not sure that the season would happen. That was the night of the draft.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. It was like the season's definitely happening.
No, and it was bad news that he tried to.
It definitely was something like that.
Regardless, he tries to mask bad news with other very happy events. In sports. So he did that today. Oh, like, we're going to make this massive radical change, but you're not going to notice it because I'm going to bury it under opening day excitement. And then he did it. It worked.
But like, I feel like they genuinely thought that was a good idea. Like, it's not like they were like, oh, we have to do this. This sucks. Let's hide it. I think it was like, this is going to be exciting.
Well, it's not like Manfred is like
cooler for opening day. That's how it landed. But
it's not like he's the one. It's just like, you know what? I'd want, like, there has to be some team behind him making these other decisions. He didn't call somebody just like, hey, you know what? I want to deliver this news on opening day and just talk with everybody. Like,
yeah,
they were talking.
He rolled out of bed and decided.
The league had to approve it. They were talking about it last weekend, and then they just said the league has to approve it before opening day starts. Yeah, and the player.
Whatever.
Everybody agreed.
Like, it wasn't like all of a sudden Manfred's like, oh, by the way, like they were just talk about it, but it was pretty late in the decision process because otherwise it would have been in the original plan.
Yeah.
So
that's all I got to say about that.
So should we end it with does this season count?
Because no, I'm not even doing that thing again.
I don't care. We got fucking baseball. I'm watching baseball again. I don't care what we're watching and how we're watching today, it. I'm just so fucking excited to watch some baseball.
I think today for me solidified, like, I was sitting there, like, before the game starts, I was, like, almost anxious. I'm like, what if, like, it's not fun? What if I, like...
And I'm even more...
And today I watched, like, Stan hit his home run, and I was like, all right, no, it's fine. Baseball's cool.
What if I don't like baseball anymore?
No, I was literally like, what if it's just not the same? What if it... feels like I'm watching spring training or something, like, where I'm not like that dialed in on it. And then Stan hit his home run, and I'm sitting in my basement alone with nobody even remotely close to me yelling like, get out, get out, get out, get out, get out. And
yeah,
still there.
But shout out to everybody who stayed with us for the off season. It was a long off season, but we got some baseball to finally talk about, and I couldn't be more excited.
Couldn't agree more.
Bye.
Let's go, Yanks. Many men. Wish death on me, Lord, I don't cry no more. Don't look to the sky no more. Have mercy on me. These pussy niggas put money on my head. Gone, get your refund, motherfucker, I ain't dead. I'm the diamond in the dirt that ain't been found. I'm the underground king, and I ain't been crowned. When I rhyme, something special happen every time. I'm the greatest, something like Ali in his prime. I walk the block with the bundles, I've been knocked on the humble. Swing the ox when I rumble, show your ass with my gun do. Gotta tip a nigga, go ahead, lose your head. Turn your back on me, get clapped and lose your legs. I walk around, gun on my waist, chip on my shoulder, top bust a clip in your face. Post to this beef ain't over. Many men, many, 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 many men wish death upon me, Lord, I don't cry no more. Don't look to the sky no more. Have mercy on me, have mercy on my soul. Somewhere my heart turned cold. Have mercy on many men, many, 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 many men wish death upon me. Sunny days wouldn't be special if it wasn't for rain. Joy wouldn't feel so good if it wasn't for pain. Death gotta be easy, cause life is hard. It'll leave you physically, mentally, and emotionally scarred. This is for my niggas on the block, twisting trees and cigars. For the niggas on lock, doing life behind bars. I don't see only God can judge me, cause I see things clear. Quick, these crackers will give my black ass 100 years. I'm like Paulie and Goodfellas, you can call me the Don. Like Malcolm by any means, with my gun in my palm. Slim, switch sides on me, let niggas ride on me. I thought we was cool, why you want me to die, homie? Many men, many, 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 many men wish death upon me, Lord, I don't cry no more. Don't look to the sky no more. Have mercy on me, have mercy on my soul. Somewhere my heart turned cold. Have mercy on many men, many, 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 many men wish death upon me. Every night I talk to God, but he don't say nothing back. I know he protected me, but I still stay with my gat and my nightmares. Niggas keep pulling checks on me. Cypher said some bitch done put a hex on me. The feds didn't know much when Pop got shot. I got a kite from the pins that told me Tuck got knocked. I ain't gon' spell it out for you motherfuckers all the time. Are you a literate nigga? You can't read between the lines. In the Bible it says, what goes around comes around. Homo shot me, 3 weeks later he got shot down. Now it's clear that I'm here for a real reason. Cause he got hit like I got hit, but he ain't fucking breathing. Many men, many, 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 many men wish death upon me, Lord, I don't cry no more. Don't look to the sky no more. Have mercy on me, have mercy on my soul. Somewhere my heart turned cold. Have mercy on many men, many, 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 many.